It's time for our monthly catch-up with eAccessibility. Tristan Parker will be giving us an idea of what will be landing in many people's inboxes, and will also tell you how you can get a hold of the free bulletin. It's all about technology news for people with disabilities. And looking ahead to this month, Tristan, a packed bulletin as always.
Yes, we've got plenty of content, a lot of new technology on the horizon that we're covering. So I guess one of the first things we're going to cover is something called Wayfinder. So Wayfinder is a really interesting new system for designing audio navigation programs. And it has a lot of really good potential for helping people who are blind or visually impaired to move around and navigate public spaces a lot easier. So there are a lot of technologies which are trying to kind of develop this audio navigation system at the moment, but it's obviously a very complex field. So Wayfinder wanted to kind of standardize the process and make sure that the people who were designing these systems were doing it as effectively as possible. So they've released what they call an open standard. This is a really sort of detailed resource with lots of information, and it's aimed at software developers or people who design transport systems or buildings. And it gives them a huge amount of information on the best way of designing digital audio navigation system so that it's as effective as possible for blind or visually impaired people. So back in December of last year, Wayfinder actually hosted a large-scale trial at Euston Underground Station in London, which is an extremely busy station. There's a huge amount of people. It's very chaotic there. So what happened was Wayfinder organised for several blind and visually impaired people to use a demo version of the Wayfinder app on their smartphones. And these people were actually able to navigate through the station using voice directions that were spoken out from the phone due to the demo app. And the directions that were spoken out were actually triggered by Bluetooth beacons, which were put around the station. And when someone walked past one of these beacons, it would trigger something which would then create a voice direction on the phone.
It's using, as you say, smart devices, which many people have, and Bluetooth technology. So keeping the price down and making it easy to update the systems as well.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. It's something that has a lot of potential. You know, it's still in its early stages, I suppose. And as I said, it is a very complex area. But, you know, with people like Wayfinder doing all this work towards it, it could have really great applications for people in the future.
All right, let's stay with getting around and finding places that are accessible. You'll be looking at Access Earth.
So this is essentially an online database of locations and buildings and venues around the world which are accessible to people with a range of disabilities. So it's all based on information that's submitted by users, crowdsourced, if you will. So what happens is someone will visit a hotel or a restaurant, for example, and they can then give that place a rating to the Access Earth platform, detailing how accessible or inaccessible that venue is. So, for example, if someone goes to a restaurant and finds there are a lot of steps and no sort of alternative route to get up these steps, and perhaps they're in a wheelchair, that's going to be very difficult to navigate. So they'd probably give it a bad accessibility rating. And so that information is available in the database for other people to see.
Sounds great in terms of accessibility, and as you say, a very pan disability as well. So, you know, people with hearing impairments, visual impairments can all feed back to this. So that's Access Earth. Now, I'm hoping I'm going to say this correctly, Tristan. Is it Voreil?
Yes, it is Voreil. It's a social networking app, essentially, and it allows people to communicate and meet other people purely through recorded voice messages. So the description that the developers are going with is that it's a bit like an audio version of Facebook, because there are no photos or pictures involved, and it's not based around text messages. It all works through recorded voice messages. And because of that, it's proven very popular with blind and visually impaired people. It's very simple. You just sign up, which requires a few very basic details, and then you can browse this huge list of comments and questions that people have left on the site. So you just literally tap record on the app, and you can record yourself saying something, and you can leave that as a message, which then gets picked up on the site, and people can then reply to that message. So the general idea that the developers put forward is that people leave these messages as questions, which then get replied by others. So the questions, for example, could be something like, does anyone on Vireo know a good Thai restaurant in the centre of Glasgow? Or it could be something perhaps like, does anyone know what the best iPhone apps are for people with a visual impairment? It's very sort of wide ranging. Some people keep the questions very short. Some people use them as a kind of jumping off point to just sort of talk about what's on their mind or a larger topic. It's a very sort of flexible system.
Sounds great. Let's move on now. And we're looking at some hardware as opposed to an app now, and a Braille tablet you're going to be looking at.
Yes, that's right. So this is a tactile tablet computer designed especially for blind and visually impaired people. And it displays a page of Braille text, and there's a small touchscreen below that. So the developers are calling it the first iPad for the blind. And it's got a lot of really impressive features. So, for example, users can browse the web or they can check their email using the touchscreen. But then any text that's on that screen will be formed into Braille on the Braille display above. The clever bit, I suppose, is that the Braille is formed through a kind of liquid-based technology, apparently, which creates sort of Braille bubbles, I suppose you might call it. So the bubbles appear on the page in the form of Braille, which can then be read. But as well as text, these Braille bubbles also can form images and graphics and maps, anything like that. So it adds a sort of whole new dimension, I suppose, really, to the idea of Braille technology.
As long as it does what it says on the tin, Tristan, basically. Okay, now obviously the bulletin goes into a lot more details about things like this. You don't completely look at products and so on. You also encourage people to kind of give feedback or ask questions. So you still have reader responses on this as well, people just asking questions of others.
That's right, yes. Every month we have a section called the Inbox where readers can write in with thoughts, comments, queries, requests for information, anything like that. It's always quite a popular section and it's really good to have that discussion with readers. So, for example, in the June issue, we have a reply to a previous comment from the May issue. So in last month's bulletin, a reader wrote in to comment that he felt a lot of staff in retail shops and outlets didn't really have adequate knowledge of accessibility functions of digital products. And he was wondering whether this was perhaps the result of a lack of IT training or comprehensive IT training for staff. So in the June issue, another reader has replied to that comment, and I'll just read out his reply. Everyone is affected by the poor service in shops in terms of knowledge that occurs in the United Kingdom. But this problem, which can be overcome by sighted people far more easily, is very hard to deal with for blind and other visually impaired people, partly through mobility restrictions, which may make it difficult to go to, say, 10 different shops before making a purchase. For many blind and visually impaired people, difficulties in accessing the internet also have an effect, and accessing computer training to overcome this can also be very difficult and very expensive. Eventually, the whole thing becomes a nightmare as one struggles to find the information which should have been given out in the stores in the first place. Truly a vicious circle. So, yeah, it's not the most positive of letters, but it does raise some very good points. And it's something that, unfortunately, I feel a lot of people will be able to identify with.
And the fact that people can give feedback, they can answer some of these questions or perhaps give some support or even counter some of the arguments as well, really gives the bulletin that extra dimension to it. So there's real user involvement there. So Tristan, a lot coming out in the June bulletin, just giving people a bit of a taster there, as we will do every month here on RNIB Connect Radio. But if people would like to find out more, Tristan, perhaps they'd like to receive the bulletin or have a look at previous issues, how can they go about doing that?
To get a flavour of the bulletin, have a look at the content online. So most of our content is published on our blog site, and you can find that at www.headstar.com/EABLive, which is all one word. If people want to sign up to the bulletin, it's absolutely free, and it's just received via a once monthly email, which gets sent direct to you. And you can sign up by visiting the following page, lists.headstar.com. So that's lists.headstar.com. and there's no www in front of that. They can also get in contact with us. So we're on Twitter, and the Twitter handle is at eaccessbulletin. And you can also email me with any thoughts or comments or questions. So the email address is eaccessbulletin@gmail.com. And as I said, it's always really great to have any sort of feedback or response from readers. So yeah, please do get in touch.
Tristan, pleasure as always speaking with you. I certainly look forward to reading the bulletin in its entirety towards the end of the month. And we'll catch up with you again in July. Thanks for speaking with us on R&IB Connect Radio.
Great. Thanks very much, Alan.